Okay, so welcome back, everybody, to this week's presentation of Biblical People, Places, and Things. And tonight, we are proud to announce that Learning in the Shul this week has been graciously sponsored by Dr. and Dr. Wenger, commemorating the yahrzeit of Dr. Wenger's mother, Leah bat Rabbi Yechiel Alter. And of course, we hope that our learning, together with the rest of the learning that gets done in our shul on a week-to-week basis, should serve as a chus for aliyas neshama and as chus for refuah shleima for all holy Israel. So tonight I want to do something very, very same and different. It's the same in so far as we're going to follow a similar model to what we've done. It's a little bit different in the fact that in most instances I've in our biblical personality, people, places, and things series, I don't think I've ever touched and with great detail, a major player in the Chumash. We tend to focus on the major players, the Avos, the Imos. Those are the ones we tend to focus on anyway. So tonight, I feel that there's so much to be gained out of the study of Rivka Imenu, and she appears just for such a short period in time that I thought maybe it would be a good idea for us to break that rule. Besides, it's a good opportunity. And when I spoke to Marvin didn't remember us ever covering Rivka. Secretly, I believe we did, but this is a brand new shir, because if I did cover Rivka in the past, she certainly wasn't covered with the depth that I believe she deserves. So let's begin at the beginning. What do we know about Rivka Imenu? So the first thing we know about Rivka Imenu is the fact that she appeared to us in this week's parsha, and she plays a major role in this week's parsha. How so? We're told, and it's the source on the slide in front of you, we meet her in Parashas Chayisara. The first thing we know about her is that she came out. She's the daughter of Bisuel and some other lady who remains unidentified, although Rivka feels close enough to her to go visit her on regular occasion. We know that she has a brother named Lavan. We also know when Eliezer first meets her, the Torah sets us up with a description. It says the Torah Bahanara Tovas Marem Od Bisula Beishlo Yida. She was a Tovas Mare, she looked good, right? And she was certainly somebody who had never been with a man before, and a man didn't know her. But and she went down to the well area and she filled up the water, her pitcher, and she came up from there. The rest is history, as they say. The servant runs up to her and he says to her, give me some water to drink. She says, here, drink a little bit. She lowers the pitcher into her hand, I guess from her back, and she gives him something to drink. And when she's done giving him stuff to drink, Vatomer, she says, Gam ligmalecha eshav adim kilulishtos. I'm going to also give your camels to drink until when? Until they're done drinking. So what happens? Vatimaer, Vatar, Kadal, Ashokes. She goes back and she goes and lowers the pitcher down again. Vatarats odal abeer lishov. And she goes to fill up more water. Vatishav lechol gimalav. And she finds enough water for all of the camels. And of course, what do we know about Eliezer, who had been praying for this exact girl? The man is sitting there waiting. He's dumbfounded by this girl. He's dying to know, did God help him or not help him? This is our first impression of Rivka, and there are a tremendous number of questions that I have to stop and ask. Question number one. Our first identification is she's Tovas Maret. Isn't that like a little bit not Torah-like? Don't we say Sheker Achein, Vehevel Hayofi, Shayiras Hashem Hikdesalo? Why is it so important for the Torah for us to know that she was Tovas Maret? Why is that so important? In other instances, we're told that Rachel Imena was Yefei Maret, but she was also Yefas Toar. Here, we're just told Rivka was a good-looking girl, and that just seems strange and shallow from a Torah perspective. And then furthermore, we're told Besula, V'ish lo yida'ah. It's like, okay, she hasn't been with a man and a man didn't know her. That's a double term. Why is that important for us to know? And for one of the imos, shouldn't that be a given? It's got to be repeated twice. I wouldn't have even bothered to mention it once. I think that that's like a guarantee. So what's the Torah trying to tell me over here? And why was the camel test the one that was chosen by Eliezer? Like, you know, we know that there was this great camel test. But if you wanted to test her with something else, test her with, you know, something that shows a little something more. Why with the camels? And if she passes the test, then in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayish Mishta'ela, I'm trying to know, like, I understand, why is he still waiting? This was the test. She passed the test. So what does the Torah want us to know that Eliezer still felt a little bit sort of missing on? What was that? What was that? What was missing over there? And what does this tell us about Rivka? So let's meet Rivka a second time. So we have this whole storyline, and she goes back, and Eliezer repeats the whole story. And then when we get to the end of the story, Rivka decides she's going back with Devorah, her minekes. And as they start heading back with Eliezer and the other servants, Vatisa Rivka say now Vateres Yitzchak. On the way back, she sees Yitzchak. Wow. Vatipo me'al ha'gamal. So she falls down. And I got to ask, why did she fall? And by the way, why does the Torah want us to know that? Do we need to know that Rivka Imenu is clumsy? Why is that important for us? So Vatomer Ela Eved, Mi Aish Ala Zeh Oleich Basadeh L'Krasenu, who's that guy? Vatomer Eved, Hu Adoni. Eliezer says, that's my master. Vatikach Atzoif Vatiskas. Right? So she takes the kerchief and she puts on a cover. And this is why I just came back from a wedding. Sure enough, what happened? The kala also had a badekin. We do this always because of what happened with Rivka Imenu. And of course, why did she cover herself? You know, here we are in the first source, in the first pasuk Samach Dalet in the source, we're told about Tisa Rivka say now that she lifted up her eyes. And now we're being told that why? She's covering everyone else's eyes. What are we supposed to take out of that? And by the way, and the servant tells Yitzchak everything that happened. And by Yiviyah Yitzchak Ka'ola Sara Imo, Yitzchak brings her into his mother's tent. And so he marries Rivka, and she becomes his wife, and then he loves her. Now, Freudianism aside, what is Yitzchak waiting for to fall in love with the girl? Usually we say, you know, love and then marriage. Right? So why is it the opposite over here? What does that tell us about Yitzchak? What does it tell us about Rivka? What does it tell us about the marital relationship? Was Yitzchak just looking for a surrogate mommy? Was Rivka just supposed to be a surrogate mommy? Especially according to the Medrash that suggests she was 3 years old. That's a pretty, pretty young mommy. This is the second time we meet her. But yet, when we close out the Parsha and we start Parsha's Toldos, we meet Yitzchak and Rivka again. We find Yitzchak davening. Yitzchak davens for Rivka, ki akara hi, because she is a barren. And we're told Hashem listens to him and she becomes pregnant. What does that tell me about her? Why is Yitzchak the one doing the davening? Why is he getting answered for her situation? And then we're told in the next pasuk by Yisroel Tzitzua Banim Bekirba that the children were driving her crazy. Boy, morning sickness like you can't imagine. Vatomerim Kane, if this is the case, Lama Ze'anochi, why am I here? And what does she mean when she says that phrase? And why does she go, instead of to a doctor to get something to deal with the nausea, why does she go to solve her question of Lama Zanochi, why is she going to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever Lidrosha Sashem? And while we're at it, we're told later, you know what happens to her. She takes an opposite role. But instead of falling off camels, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav Kisayed Befid, Yitzchak loved Esav. He saw he was a hunter, etc. Rivko Heves es Yaakov. Why is her love unconditional for Yaakov? And by the way, does she not love Esav? What are we supposed to take from that as well? And of course, the last series of psukim I want to bring you, because they also give us an insight into Rivka Imenu, is Vatomer Lo Imo. His mother says to him, Alai kelalascha b'ni, ach shma b'koli v'lech kachli. When Rivka hears the whole storyline about how Yitzchak wants to give a bracha to Esav, she jumps up and she tells Yaakov, you do what you have to do. I'll take the curse. No cost on you. And is that even possible? And so Yaakov does exactly what happens, and she takes the big day Esav benaha gadol hachamudos asheri tababayis. She takes Esav's wonderful special clothing that were with her in the house. Why is she the one who's holding on to the clothing? And why is she therefore violating that trust that Esav seems to have in her? Why does she go ahead and give Yaakov to wear them? And by the way, since we're already here, let's ask traditional biblical people, places, and things questions. Like, one, we know that the theme of the book of Bereishis is Masa Avos Siman Labanim. That when Avos exists, when anyone exists in my Sefer, then they must exist for a purpose. And so what is their purpose? What is her purpose in my Sefer Bereishis? What does Rivka bring to the table that none of the other Avos and Imahos would have brought to the table? What does she have? And by the way, while we're at it, the Wengers are sponsoring anyway. And of course, Devorah Wenger is celebrating a birthday around this time. Let's ask the famous Wenger corollary question. What does the name Rivka mean anyway? So now you got all my questions. On the one hand, she seems submissive. On the other hand, she seems to be out there. On the third hand, she seems to be, way out there in terms of guiding. Which way are we supposed to understand her? And so let's start off with a comment from Bereishis Rabba. The Bereishis Rabba says that when we recognize that she is an Arami, is she's Rivka or Arami Bas Pesuela Arami, the Medrash asks the question in Source 6, Matalmud Lomar Achos Lavan Ho Arami. Why do we have to know who her brother is? Elabola Lamedcha Avi Aramai, Be'achi Aramai, Be'afanchi Mekoma Kane. Everybody around her was a swindler. However, this girl, this wonderful tzadekes who comes out from them, lemahi doma, what is she similar to? L'shoshana bein achochim. She's like a rose among thorns. It was a lesson in contrast. They stole this world. She works to return it. They go ahead and they try to steal from other people. She's a balas chesed. She goes ahead and tries to give people things that otherwise they would not deserve. Right? What does that tell us about her? And I believe the first thing that we have to understand is that the role of chesed, although normally we assume it means it's about being selfless, but I think what we're going to come out and realizes you have to have a self to be a balas chesed. You have to have a self because the person who's a shmata and gives everything away, including their own sense of being, that person is not a bal chesed or a balas chesed. To be a balas chesed, you have to have a chesed being or a chesed self. And I think Klei Yakar makes this point in this week's parsha as well. Where he turns out, he says, you have to understand the context of Rivka in the context of the whole episode at the beginning of the parsha, when Avraham and Ephron get into this major discussion back and forth. Ephron hayara, let's just work with the underline for a moment. Ephron hayara ayin. Ephron lacked a certain mindset. He didn't have an eye. He looked at things with an evil eye. When it comes to Ephron and the episode with trying to purchase Maras HaMachpela or dealing with the Canaanim in general, whom we're told that they hold cheating scales in their hands, we find that Avraham Avinu was sick of these people who live in an environment where they're what we call tsari ayin. They're very, very difficult. And so therefore, Avraham Avinu sends Eliezer to go find Rivka inside an area that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that people would have a different outlook over there. And so that's why, says Kli Yakar over here, that he wants somebody who'll be identified as a Tovas Ayin, right? Even in the question. So, and that's what Eliezer says, and we can lamad Eliezer shalo badak es Rivka, kiyam b'mida zu, em yesh la ayin tova. Ayin tova, there's that word again. Look at the I, right? Gomelas chasadim, to be a balas chesed, you have to have a good eye, and you have to be able to do chesed. And that's why he says, anilo etba mimena kiyam shetitein li lishtos. I'm going to just ask her to give me something to drink. That's going to be the proof, because she's going to give me more than I'm asking for, right? And Kli Yakar continues. He says, "V'hayoyim tashiv li shasei v'gam gemalecha." That's going to be the proof that that's going to be the one whom you set aside to be there for Yitzchak. His whole home, his whole essence, the whole home was an environment for the people. Then Kli Yakar adds a wonderful remez. He says, you should just know that the word gimalecha, gamal, a camel, comes from the word gemilos chesed, right? The words sound the same. This is a very Kli Yakar idea. Rav Hirsch does it from time to time. The things that sound similar come from the same place. But we have to understand that that Rivka's sense was to be a woman who had a tovas ayin. You need to have an eye socket and a sense of self if you're going to go ahead and be something. And by the way, the Abarbanel adds a similar comment as well. He says, what was going on over here at the Ein Hamayim? By the way, there's that word again, Ayin, the I, right? He says, I'm going to stand there at that place. The Gamal came to Sechla Shechasa. He says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to see. I'll be seen as an individual. I'm right at the well. I could easily bend over and drink the water myself. And I could, and there were a lot of people there, and I could go to the other people and ask them to help me feed my camels. And people, you know, would be expecting somebody of my stature to be able to go ahead and take care of myself. So part of the test, says Abarbanel, was the fact that Rivka doesn't turn to ask. I don't need to ask people. Eliezer is going to say, I'm going to look and I'm going to appear as a fine individual who is strong and could do it on my own. But the Nara, the girl like Rivka, who doesn't bother to ask, why don't you go do it yourself? Nor does she want to know what my history and my life story is before she takes care of me. Usa hochachta. That's a Baal Chesed. A Baal Chesed doesn't need to ask, because it's not important to her goals. And what does that tell us about her outlook when she's at the Ein Hamayim? What is her look? Is she the out there type? Is that what it means, that you have to have osa hochachta to be a chesed person? You have to be incredibly outgoing? Is that the message we're supposed to take? After all, the other half of Rivka is not an out there person. We're told that she was tznua v'ishlo yida'a. And I think we have to put the tznius aspect together with the gemilas chesed aspect to try to figure out, are they one and of the same, and how they can coexist inside the same person. So listen to a comment from Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says, let's understand source number 8. Ki im tznua haisa, ad ki ishlo yida'a. You have to understand something about Rivka. She was so tanua that people didn't know it. Shum gezer lo he is me odolis kare de la mitochiba bekalis roach. When you saw that girl coming down the road, you didn't play around with her. Haisha hatsnua be emes, hadarla vetoarla, shalomi daita hofata use rosham. She doesn't go ahead to make an impression by doing it on her own. her whole existence carries an aura and commands a certain degree of respect. People, the construction workers, when she walked by, you thought twice before you whistled. And you certainly, when you see a girl like that walking by, there's that word again, the ayin. It doesn't, you don't think to yourself to have evil thoughts. The fact that Rivka carried herself that way, right, it was something that was extraordinary, and the Torah highlights that. So again, we have Rivka Imenu, who on the one hand is this great towering balas chesed out there person who will pour water for camels and some guy who's standing at a well, but she also commanded the respect of people as a tzanua. And so while the trait of chesed and tznius are often confused as opposites, one of the things that's starting to emerge about Rivka is that she combined them together in her outlook. And I want to suggest, in the name of the Nativ, Eliezer sees this too. And that's what he does when he says, Macharish Ladas. He's silent trying to figure out. Hayalola daberi makdei lahakir sechla. Technically speaking, if Eliezer wanted to test Rivka, he should do what most of us do when we decide we're going to go ahead and get married. He should have spoken to her. Why don't you test her? Go out on a date. Figure out what she's all about. Avohaya macharish. Eliezer is quiet. Kidei ladas haitzliach, kibishas dibor ief sharles bonein al kol tenua kamo bioso macharish. When you're so busy talking, you can't take in the whole picture. And by the way, she can't go ahead and do her chesed imti as a kukalanos. If you're constantly talking to her and she's trying to finish the chesed, you're not going to get that. If you and that whole storyline. And so therefore, Eliezer prefers sight to talk. He, again, we find the idea of sight, ayin, ayin tova, in hamayim, and now tsenua, where people don't have an ayin chamdanit, we're finding a certain theme that seems to come out from Rivka as well. And Rivka, too, has a certain way that she looks out. For as the Alshech says, when she later finds out about the man for whom she lifted her ayin, Batisha es eneha, Mashi pila atzma me'al ha-gamal, says the Alshech, you know why she fell off the camel? She sensed the godliness in the person around her, the person she was looking at. And she said, maybe that's Yitzchak. What other man, other than perhaps Yitzchak's father, Abraham, carries that certain aura that you can pick up? It was based on that awareness. She turned around. She wanted to seek a godliness. And when you stand with an eye towards godliness, and you're a person who is tanua, who knows where she sits in the face of godliness, you know where you are. And as the Chizkuni says, Bati pome al hagamal, bati kachatzo ifat diskas, she falls off the camel, she covers her face. Merov tzniyo sipila atzma, meiritzona. She knows what she wants to do about it. She didn't fall because she stumbled. She didn't fall because she was clumsy. She allowed herself to drop from the camel, and she covered her face. Kimo vayipol al panav. There's something about a woman who is tanua, and also a balas chesed, that she's, when she stands in the face of godliness, she's not all hanging out. What she wants to do is find her own sense, where she fits in the face of something greater. And I think this idea is most paramount by Rivka. And I think we'll find that it's so paramount that it's in her name. You see, most of the time I like to translate the word Rivka, Ravka, she's a writer. Nah, that doesn't work. Right? The Shalak, in fact, if she got married at that young, being a Rivaka, that she was not married, which is two vavs, not a vet, also doesn't apply to her. She didn't spend that much time being single. But the Shalal Kadosh says, when we look at the davening of Rosh Hashanah, when we change the wording of Shochenad, b'fi yisharim tisromam, u'v'divrei tzadikim tisbarach, u'v'lshon chasidim tishalal, u'v'divrei tzadikim, the way we do, we know we get the words Yitzchak and Rivka. And we change that language. Why, says the Shla? Vida, says the Shla Kadosh, you should just know something. Ki Hashem Rivka, Mora al Inyan Hadin. The name Rivka has something to do with the concept of justice. Kena din pirusho lakor v'lisharis. Din doesn't mean to go ahead to rip things out or to create new roots. It's not to create, it's not to remove, it's just to give people what they deserve. Hein tov, hein ra. Prima lalav yochal sachar o onesh. When a person lives a life of sin, your reward is punishment. And when people live a life of mitzvah, your reward is reward. And zeu shem Rivka. That's what the name of Rivka is all about. Osios rak, or rake, that all that applies to what one concept. And what is it? What is the concept? The concept is the letter in the word Rivka, says the Shalah, that refers to the word rak or rake or emptiness, right? Moran al harekus, rake inbo, there's nothing inside. The osios ba, moran al mitzias barachu. Something can be empty, something can be full. Hatziro shall rak v'shal ba, when you have things that are empty and full, polar opposites, like tzias and chesed, you get Rivka. And you get somebody who can say, so to speak, I have nothing inside of me but room for godliness, which is so important, because ultimately that's what happens to her. She is a person who is a perfect mate for Yitzhak, because he is so much a godliness, especially after Akedas Yitzhak, when he had the status of a karban. Whom else to be a spouse for a man like that than somebody who has only room for godliness and spirituality in her inner relationships? So where are we holding with Rivka right now? Lama ze anochi? My anochius, my sense as a Rivka, is a person who commands a certain internal integrity and dignity while being able to do her mission, Hashem's mission, namely chesed. But that's to make her naive. She's not a blind follower. She has a lot of insight. She was tovas mareh. Her eyes were open constantly. She and Eliezer recognized that when he needed to go find an eye. Which is why, when her insides were all confused in the pregnancy, she says, wait a second. Lama sa anochi? What was I thinking? What's my whole purpose? Because if my whole anochius is to make a combination, and right now that combination seems out of whack, then what was my whole purpose of bringing myself up this way? And that bothers Rivka. So she goes where? To the place where you go when you have a confusion and you're a godly person. I live my life looking for what you want me to do. And so therefore she asks the question, I don't know what you want from me at this moment. Am I confused inside? Or is there an internal consistency the way there was inside of me prior to pregnancy? It's fascinating to me that it brings to mind the comment of Rav Amital in Parashas Bahar. In Parashas Bahar, Rav Amital commented on the Torah's description of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. We're told, The faculty of seeing, said Rabbi Amital, is associated with totality. When we talk about somebody who has an eye towards this, she's tovas mare. She has the eye of being able to see. She has a sight beyond sight. She has that ability to see what Esav was all about and how she had to deal with it. She had the ability to have the eye that Eliezer was looking for, that eye towards Chesed. But she managed to close the eye of anyone who had something else beyond. Batisa Eseneha. Her eyes were always going up. And that comes with the faculty of totality. With one single glance, a person can grasp a great deal, an entire picture. And who proves that more than Rivka? When she's traveling on that camel and she sees the entirety. And Shemi Shmuel says, while she sees it, she understands that she was not naive to Esav. Says the Shemi Shmuel, the Ger Rebbe, B'nei Ksivir Rivka, Oheva says Yaakov, Ubevadai kemo sheshtadel Esav latzures aviv befid vilaramoso, kena sanami l'Rivka. Don't be fooled, says the Shemi Shmuel. Esav tried to fake out Rivka as well. He couldn't fool his mother. His mother was rakbah. It was inside of her. She was always looking at the inside. And as opposed to Yitzchak, she was into the inside. In fact, there's a comment of the Ramban who says that she still needed to be his eyes and ears. Since she was afraid that Yitzchak would leave things in the hands of Shamayim to decide. And she wanted Yitzchak to give Yaakov a bracha wholeheartedly. So she served as the eyes. She said, Alai Kilalasta. So who's Rivka? Rivka is a woman who balances inside herself by having an eye, both internally and externally, towards finding God. She has room for people in her life when she finds them. And they fulfill her, and she can fulfill them, raising them up to a higher level. But if they don't, Chalila, then she doesn't have room for them. And she will do what she has to do in order to be able to make sure that Hashem's will carries itself forward. You know, my mother was the one person who was most responsible for this entire series, which is now well past, I think already almost 22 years, no, 23 years in its inception. And it started because of Rivka Imenu. There's a famous comment that appears in the name of the Netziv, which to me best describes the style of marriage from my mother's perspective between all the Imahos and Avos. You know, we think about an Avram Avinu and a Sarah Imenu. We see what their life was like. When Sarah Imenu had a problem with something that Avram Avinu did, the Torah records that they disagreed openly. When Yaakov and Rachel disagreed, we see that they had a discord, and the Torah records it. They were equals. They saw themselves as equals. The only time we see that people balance themselves differently in their marriage is in the context of Yitzchak and Rivka. My mother's very fond of the comment of the Netziv, "Atikachat zayifat iskas." Meirov pachad u'busha kamosha mevina she'ina ruuya hayliyos lo liisha. The Netziv argues that Rivka Imenu covered herself not from her own desire to demonstrate her mida of tznius like we saw before, but rather she thought she was unworthy. And from then on, she had a certain fear of Yitzchak. And her relationship with Yitzchak was not like the relationship of Sarah and Abraham and Rachel and Yaakov. When Rachel or Sarah had a problem with Abraham or Yaakov, they didn't have a problem sharing their views, Masha Ein Kein Rivka. And all this was set up. The reason why is because later on, Sheyu Yitzchak v'Rivka mechulakim b'deos. The Torah wants us to know that there'll be a time period where Yitzchak and Rivka are going to disagree. But how mikom makom lo matza Rivka leiv lahamides Yitzchak al daita b'dvarim nechoten. But Rivka never openly debates with Yitzchak. Ki hi odas ha'emes, she knows ki esa bra rak tzayit b'fiv, v'chein b'shas ha'brachos, v'choze ha'yasiva me'akadosh baruch hu she'agiu ha'brachos li'akov, dafka ba'oso ha'open. God arranged it so that she have a different style of relationship. And why is that? Because God wanted to get the brachos to Yaakov in this particular style. God will, Be'ezus Hashem, the Netziv will discuss it in its right time and place. She would have had a fight with Yitzchak, and the brachos wouldn't have come out that same way.
Right?
It was set up this way on purpose so that Rivka would have a different style of a relationship. The Netziv argues that Yitzchak and Rivka did not have the same style of marriage. Rivka did not allow herself to be seen as an equal. She looked up to Yitzchak, and that had to carry itself through even when she thought Yitzchak was wrong. She had to be able to look up to him. And so she never spoke up to him. She spoke around him to maintain his image as the one who was the spiritual leader so that she could look to him and get encouragement for her own sense of self and place with he as the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Radak doesn't like this that much. My mother loves this Netziv, by the way. But I always like to add to her, whenever we get into this discussion every 3 or 4 years, I always point out the Radak. The Radak has a different perspective on why Yitzchak and Rivka only engaged in a sense of love only after they were married. Says the Radak, he says, no, it's wrong. He saw all the good things in the tznias, kamo shaya be'imo. He saw the same elements, just like his mother. The word vayahavel, the Torah is telling us that there's a deeper love here. Everybody loves their wives, hopefully. I love my life. Moshe, you love your wife. The bottom line is that most people love their wives. But Yitzchak didn't just, according to Radak, didn't just love Rivka because she was his best friend. He saw in Rivka difference. He saw something special, something unique. He was in awe of Rivka in the same way Rivka had the awe of him. I don't believe that Netziv and Radak have to argue. I think that Rivka saw her place in their relationship differently than you and I might. She needed the awe while having the coverage, even if her husband didn't. The bottom line is that when we think of a Rivka, we think of a woman who goes ahead and gives us a different eye. Her eye for us is an eye towards who am I and where do I fit at in the context of leading a people while maintaining a marriage. There are a lot of different marriages, but some people have mutuality and some people live on a mutual respect. Sometimes mutuality and mutual respect are two themes that come together. Rivka can teach us that both sides of a marriage can be in awe of one another. And Rivka highlights to us that you can have a gemilas chesed and be a balas chesed and be a tzanua, as long as what the glue that holds them together is the godliness, and that will carry you through in your leadership, in your decisions, and in your personal life, in your marriage as well. The eyes have it. Whether that eye is the eye that looks a certain way, or whether the eye is the anochios that had already looked that way for years and established who she was for Am Yisrael as a model for what we want within our relationships and within ourselves and our sense of who we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I think I'm going to hit the record stop here. And